Shrike popped out in Bazaire's system, and Esme oversaw the signal drop to Fleet Sector HQ. Scan reported no traces matching that of the Elias Madero. No other ship of that mass had been through in over 100 days, according to the station master. The agent from the Boros Consortium demanded an update on the investigation a short time later. Captain Solis requested a real-time link to Overhold and had the link transferred to his office. He asked his exec to sit in on the conference.
Not all of them.
I'm sorry. Apparently the ship was captured. There is evidence under imminent threat of heavy weapons. And although the crew had been promised safe exit in a lifeboat, they were instead killed.
The children?
We don't know. We found no children's bodies, and we know the crew had concealed them in one or more core compartments.
But who?
We don't know yet. We've sent the data we have back to headquarters. Someone will figure it out, I'm sure. Now, about the deceased.
You will, of course, release the remains to Boros Consortium for transmittal to the families.
I'm afraid we can't at this time. We have positively identified all adult crew personnel and one apprentice, but it's possible the bodies bear additional evidence of the perpetrators. We must continue to examine them.
But that's outrageous!
Ma'am, what was done to these people was outrageous. We must find out who did it so that we don't have more of this.
What was done? What was done?
There was mutilation, ma'am. And that's all I care to say until forensics is through with the remains. I can assure you that all due care will be taken to return remains to family members as soon as possible.
When the crew remains and the other debris had been transferred to the courier that would take it to Sector HQ, Shrike went back out on patrol.
We don't try to pursue?
No, not our job. We can't tangle with three armed ships, and we have no idea where, besides Bazaire, that jump point leads. Someone's going to have to explore it blind. The trail's cold and growing colder. We did what we could. We have hull signatures on the raiders, or close to. We know what happened to the crew.
But not if there were weapons aboard.
No. But I'd say it was a fair bet that there were. We'll just have to keep eyes and ears open. You're asking good questions, though, Lieutenant Suiza.
Baron returned the sentry's salute as he came to the access area for the Gerfalcon. At last, he was going aboard a real warship, to a proper assignment. Not that he would have missed the time on Kosciusko and meeting Esme. He quickly turned his mind from that painful thought. Meeting her was one thing, but their relationship now was something he could have missed quite happily. But this, since he'd been out of the academy, this was his first regular assignment, and he was more than happy to get it. As he expected, when he reported aboard, he was called to the captain's cabin. Captain Escobar. He had looked Simon Escobar up in the captain's lists. Escobar was a commander with combat experience at Patchcock, Dartmouth, and Alvara. He had, besides an impressive array of combat decorations, the discreet jewels that denoted top rank in academic courses, ranging from his cadet days at the academy to the senior command and staff course.
Ensign Serrano. Always glad to have a Serrano aboard. I served under your uncle or great-uncle, I suppose. There are too many of you Serranos to keep straight.
Baron had heard that before, and the Escobars, though an old fleet family, had never had as many on active service at one time as the Serranos.
You've had an unusual set of assignments so far, I see. I hope you won't find us too mundane.
By no means, sir. I'm delighted to be here.
Good. We have only three other command track ensigns at the moment, all with a half-standard year on the ship.
Which meant they already knew things he would have to scramble to learn.
My exec is Lieutenant Commander Dockery. He has all your initial assignments.
Lieutenant Commander Dockery spent 5 minutes dissecting Baron's past career and preparation, pointed out that he was a half-year behind his peers, and then sent him on to Master Chief Zuckerman to get his ship tags, data cubes, and other necessities. Baron came out of Dockery's office wondering if Zuckerman was another step on the cut-the-ensigns-down-to-size production line. Master Chief Zuckerman nodded when Baron introduced himself.
I served with Admiral Vita Serrano on the Delphine. And you're her grandson, I understand?
Zuckerman was a big man, heavily built, who looked about 40. Rejuve, of course, No one made Master Chief by 40.
That's right, Chief.
Well, how may I help you, sir?
A lifetime's experience with the breed told Baron that the twinkle in Zuckerman's eye was genuine. For whatever mysterious reasons senior enlisted sometimes decided to like young officers, Zuckerman had decided to like him.
Commander Dockery told me to acquaint myself with the starboard watch orders.
Zuckerman fumbled a cube out of a file.
Yes, sir. Right here. This has your schematics, your billeting list, your duty stations. Now, you can either view it here or check it out. If you check it out, it's a level 2 security incident, and I'll require your signature on the paperwork.
I better check it out. I'm on duty 4 shifts from now, and I'm supposed to know it by then.
You'll do fine, sir.
Zuckerman rummaged a bit in a drawer and came up with an array of papers.
Captain likes hard copy on all checkouts of secured documents, so it really is paperwork.
Baron signed on the designated line, initialed in the spaces.
When do I have to have it back?
1400 tomorrow, sir.
Thanks, Chief.
Good to have you aboard, sir.
There were worse ways to start ship duty than by having a Master Chief for a friend. Baron went off to put his duffel in his quarters, considerably cheered. Young officers in command track were expected to know everything moderately well. Ensigns rotated through various systems and sections of the cruiser, learning by doing, or, as often, by making mistakes less critical at their level than later on. The other three ensigns aboard had all started at the bottom, environmental, and completed their 2-month rotation there. So Baron expected his first assignment, unaffectionately known as the Shit Scrubber Special.
Your nose is unreliable. You think it stinks, and it does stink, but your nose gets used to it. Use your badges and readouts. And anytime you're actually opening units, suit up. This stuff is deadly.
Baron wanted to ask why they weren't all dead then, but he knew better than to joke with someone like Jig Arundy. It was clear from her expression that she took sewage treatment very seriously and, he suspected, spent every spare moment reading up on new technology. She led him through the system he would help maintain, explaining every color-coded pipe, every label, every gauge and dial. Then she turned him over to Scrubber Team 3 and told him to do a practice inspection of the system from intake 14 to outputs 12 to 15.
And you can't use that old saw about flagpoles. This is my test team, and they'll do exactly what and only what you tell them.
Baron shook his head, resigned, but started in. He remembered almost everything. He forgot to have them turn off the check valve between primary feed and the intermediate scrubbers, and Arundy gave him a grudging thumbs up. Then she spent 10 minutes with the flow diagrams explaining exactly why that check valve should be closed during routine inspections. In a few days, Baron felt he was fitting in well. All 4 command track ensigns bunked together. They were pleasant enough, and genuinely glad that someone else had the scrubber duty for the next 2 months. Meals in the junior wardroom enabled him to meet the other juniors, Jigs and Lieutenants, who were his immediate superiors. Jig Arundy, he discovered, could talk about something other than sewage. She turned out to be an avid follower of celebrity news flashes. She and a handful of others discussed celebrities as if they were family members, endlessly poring over their clothes, their love affairs, their amusements. When she found he'd been at Copper Mountain with Brun Meager, she wanted to know all about it. Was she really as beautiful as her pictures? What kind of clothes did she wear? Had there been many news flash shooters around? Baron answered what he could, but luckily it did not occur to Arundy that he himself might have been a target of Brun's attention. When the wardroom discussions of Brun became uncomfortable, he took himself off. He would much rather listen to Zuckerman's tales of the old days in Delphine with his grandmother. She'd never told him about the time a missile hung in the tube with a live warhead. He mentioned that to Petty Light Harcourt while they were replacing a section of feeder pipe.
Zuckerman is... well, he's Zuckerman.
Baron was surprised at the tone.
It's like this, sir. Zuckerman's got a fine record, and I'm not saying anything against him. But he's changed in this last tour. He's not the man he was. We all know it, and we make allowances.
But allowance shouldn't have to be made, not for a Master Chief. Harcourt was still looking at him, and Baron realized he was expecting a comment.
Family?
It must have been the right thing to say, because Harcourt relaxed.
I wouldn't bring this up with a junior officer, begging your pardon, sir. But you are a Serrano, and, well, the chief's always talking about the time he served with the Serrano on Delphine. It's not anything I can understand. It's not all the time. Just sometimes. It's like he forgets things. The kind of thing you just don't forget. Not with his years. I have to have someone check his pressure suit settings, for instance. One emergency drill, he didn't even have his suit sealed.
Baron knew he shouldn't be hearing this. Someone considerably senior should be hearing this.
I did say something to Major Sertzi. He arranged to have the chief called in for a random health survey, but well, that was one of his good days. And on his good days, he's sharper than I am. And then the major was reassigned, and I was just... I don't quite know how far to take this.
So the sticky problem had just been handed off to a very junior ensign with the Serrano reputation. No good to tell Harcourt that he didn't feel comfortable with it either. The job description for ensigns did not include comfort.
And you'd like me to take this on upstairs?
Well, it's up to you, sir. Although, if I could make a suggestion.
Sure.
Having hooked the ensign, of course the petty light could play him.
Commander Dockery prefers to have, well, all the ducks in a row, sir, if you know what I mean.
In other words, I should investigate this myself and have some documentation.
Well, yes, sir.
Baron would have to have something, that was certain. Something more than the word of a petty light who might have some grievance Baron didn't know about.
I'll have a look.
Harcourt looked satisfied with that. Baron himself had no idea how to go about finding out if a senior NCO was going bonkers for some reason.